Okay. Deep breath. Unbelievable hour. Unbelievable hour of just news and things and movement. Orlando Brown's going to talk today with the media when the Chiefs head to the podium in maybe 20 minutes. Juan Soto has been traded from the Nationals to the Padres with Josh Bell. But it's not finalized yet. The deal includes Mackenzie Gore, left-handed pitcher with the Major League Club with the Padres. Four prime prospects, three top 100 prospects, two in the top 25, and another prospect that is the number 10 prospect in all of in the Padres system. So those are the four prospects. And it was reported as one more major leaguer. That major leaguer is Eric Hosmer. So Jeff Passan reported one more major leaguer, and then under that put, this is the only holdup to finalizing the deal. Okay, so are they figuring out which major leaguer it is? That seems odd. Well, they have already agreed upon that. That major leaguer is Eric Hosmer. But now we know why that is part of the holdup to the deal for Juan Soto, Josh.
Dennis Lynn says the Nationals are on Eric Hosmer's 10-team no-trade list. He would have to give his consent to be in a deal with Washington.
Has he done that yet?
Not as far as I have found. It also stands to reason that moving across country to play for arguably what would become perhaps the least fun baseball team in the world,
as opposed to staying on the Padres that are acquiring Juan Soto and being the first baseman for that team. What's the incentive for Hosmer? Right, being a team guy, being a good guy, but that's not like team guy
for a team you're leaving.
Right, but you're leaving that team. Yeah. You're a team guy for them saying we don't want you anymore. Hey, great job. We appreciate you being here. You helped these young guys along the way, and we started this building and winning culture, and you were a part of it. It's why we paid you all that money. Appreciate it. We're gonna go get a better first baseman, at least offensive first baseman in Josh Bell. Enjoy DC. But he has not, according to reports, he has yet to agree to that. To waive the so it's not that well, he's going to. There is still a hang up in the deal, and that is, as of now, Hosmer has not agreed to waive his no trade clause to the Nationals.
I have 17 tabs open right now. That's not, I counted.
What if Hosmer does not agree to the trade and the whole thing blows up and Soto ends up being a Dodger or a Royal?
There it is. Eric Hosmer, long play. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Let's game this out. This guy is looking so long. You want to talk about a team guy? Finally, the loyalty from Dayton Moore to his players is repaid.
With one third on a sweetheart deal.
That's right. Because of Eric Hosmer. And Jeff Passan reporting about 10 minutes ago, the package going back to Washington for Juan Soto talks about the different players. One more major league player, that's the only holdup right now to the agreed-upon deal. That one major league player is Eric Hosmer, who has not agreed to be traded to the Nationals. He has a no-trade clause with 10 teams, including the Nationals. Josh Bell and Juan Soto heading to San Diego as part of one of the biggest trades in Major League Baseball history, which will bring back three top 80 prospects, two top 25, and four top 10 prospects in the Padres organization. We're going to go out to St. Joe here in a second. Do want to pass along. Sky Moore hurt his hip today. It's why he left practice early. So they let the media know it's a hip issue. He walked up the hill.
Good news.
I can't imagine it would be that serious of a hip injury if they allowed him to walk up a hill, not giving him a ride on the cart. So he walked up the hill, but did leave practice early with what is called a hip injury. We'll hear from Dave Tobe. We'll hear from Tommy Townsend. We'll hear from Orlando Brown as well today. So Orlando Brown talking in camp. He did take part in the first sessions of practice today as the starting left tackle, as you would expect. He did not participate in the entire practice, which was as planned as part of his acclimation period by just getting to camp. So he did leave practice early to head up the hill. That was told to the media beforehand. Orlando will be leaving practice early. This is the plan. Do not report out that he's leaving practice early because of an injury or anything. We are telling you right now he's going to leave practice early. So as that happened, the tweets and the reports went out. Orlando Brown now is walking up the hill as expected and planned as part of his acclimation period to training camp. But he's in camp and today practicing for the first time. So less than a week after they start. Here's Dave Tope.
He's very promising too. Now, both of those guys, I mean, McDuffie did it in college. This guy really didn't do it. So he's kind of like a work in progress. Every time he's out there, he's getting better and better. He's got a really good sense for the ball reads and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm excited about getting all, you know, both of those guys in there in the preseason, see what they can do.
Who are some of the other young guys that have stood out to you so far?
Sticking on the returner end of it, Pacheco as a kick returner, he's another guy that's going to start off. We're going to start him off as the guy and see if he can handle it, see how he does in the preseason. A few games we'll be able to know right away. But he's promising too. He's a big guy, obviously, you know, 215 plus, running a 4.37. So, you know, that's kind of scary back there if we can get that thing going. You know, catch you coming forward and doing what we do with our scheme. He's got a real shot at being able to come out the other end. So, you know, a lot like Pringle did. You know, we use Pringle that way. We think we could do that with Pacheco. Some of the other guys, you know, Cook is doing a good job as a cover guy. Watson is he's not a rookie, but he's a guy, probably could take Kemp's place. You know, we lost like six guys, you know, so on special teams, I lost like six four-phase players. So we got to replace them with guys. Watson is a guy that might be able to take Kemp's spot in a lot of things. So, and he's doing well on offense, which is important.
What's it right away?
What tells you? They get established on offense or defense like they're a guy. Like they're going to be somebody that's in the mix. So then you're working drills and you can see that he's got a sense about geometry, blocking, his knee bend and then his toughness. You can kind of get a little bit of a sense for it, but you get more of that when you go in the games and get the full speed tackling and stuff like that. But you can kind of tell when a guy's got it, when he doesn't.
If Juan Checo's going to be the guy, do you mean on punt?
I mean, he's no, on kickoff returns.
And then punt's still Hardman.
Yeah, Hardman right now, obviously, and then we're going to try to work McDuffie in and Sky. We need to get somebody else doing it because, I mean, if McColl's getting a lot of reps as much as Tyreek did, you got to cut him back a little bit. And we really need to establish a couple more guys.
Coach, you lost Neiman. You mentioned McDaniel and Watts, who have been around for a while. This is difficult.
I mean, Watts, you got, you know, the other guys that can replace Watts is, it's slipping my mind right now, but Bush is a guy that's in there for that. And, who else? I mean, Cook, I talked about, you know, I mean, there's holes everywhere. So, I mean, it's going to be something that...
Does it feel like a complete reset, I guess?
It does. It is. It is. It's going to be a complete reset. It's going to be tough. And really, for us, it's hard to tell what a guy can do in practice because we don't do anything live. It's really the games. You know, so the Bears game is going to be huge for us, and the Washington game is obviously going to be huge for us. And we might be making decisions all the way up to the Green Bay game, so...
Dave, Watson said one of the reasons he wanted to come here was because of the emphasis you guys put on special teams.
So that's good to hear.
That says that.
He's just got a. You could just tell he's. It's important for him. You know, you could tell how he is in meetings. You could tell he's a leader. You know, he's not a vocal leader, but he's a leader by example. He's just attention to detail. You could just tell he knows what it's. He knows the importance. How important special teams is. You know, for him as a player, you know, he's not going to be a number one or a two guy, but he knows how important it is to be a guy.
It's just a combination of size and speed.
Yeah, that combination is perfect, and you know, he could do a lot of things as far as, you know, he could catch punts too as well, but you know, he's not a guy that we want to rely on, you know, to take it the distance. He's more of a blocker type guy for us.
You mentioned so many moving pieces on your special teams. You got so many core people gone from last year, but you do have at least that one returning. How beneficial is it for him to have spent time last year?
Yeah, Fountain's a guy that we're going to rely on. You know, him and Gray, these are carryover guys. Like Gray, and he was a four-phase guy for us. So we're counting on him to be a guy for sure. And he's doing outstanding, Gray. And then Fountain is a guy, you know, obviously he got hurt, you know, early, you know, late, and then we lost him. But he's a guy that played a lot of downs for us. So he's in the mix too as well. You know, I should have mentioned him as well as Watson. There's a battle. You know, there's a battle over there, and it's going to come down to special teams. I think I touched on a lot of them. You know, we Carter is a guy, a linebacker that, you know, he's not a rookie, but he's a guy that, you know, he might take Neiman's spot. You know, he might be in that role. You know, Elijah Lee is doing outstanding. I mean, he's a guy, you know, he's not a rookie, but he's a veteran. He's got veteran experience on special teams. Counting on him. You know, that's hands down.
A couple more.
We're talking to Tommy a little bit. What would you like to see him do?
Tommy, just consistency. He's you know, he's done a good job. Those three guys, I'm fortunate that those guys are back, you know, because I don't have to really worry about those guys. I can spend more time with the core guys where most of my time needs to be spent. So I'm fortunate to have all those guys back. But Tommy, a little bit more consistency. Bucker, I'm not going to mess with Bucker. He's doing well. His leg strength looks real good right now. He had over 50 yesterday, had a real good day. He's 100%. So we just got to keep him going in the right direction. And then Winchester just keeps getting better every day, every year, I should say. You know, he's a great cover guy, and he's a good leader for us. With
Coach,
the young
last
player.
Two.
I know that Coach says things have changed a little bit. You've been around him a long time. You've coached a long time. How much has Coach changed over the years? How he runs camp, how he approaches
You know, he's getting a little older. I don't know. He's not getting softer, but he's catching up with the times. You know, I mean, everybody, you know, what's happening now is that the game is changing. You know, it's not as physical as it used to be. You know, we used to have, back when we were at Philly together, we used to have the three, I mean, it was like murder. You couldn't get through, like, 3 days of full pads. You know, and it was like, if you could make it through that, you could make it through anything. You know, that's gone. You know, I had a drill called a star drill. We can't do that anymore, so that's gone. So, really, that's the thing that's changed the most is him adapting to the new rules and, you know, the new ways the players think. They think differently now, and you have to adjust. If you keep being the same, you can't survive in the NFL. You have to change. So his willingness to change.
Okay, as a coach, what's your opinion of the Garner
I think it's good right now. I mean, it's I don't know if it's going to teach any bad. It's only a couple weeks that we got to wear it. So I think if it prevents two or three head injuries that you would have had, it's a good thing. You know, because pretty soon they're going to be off and we're going to forget about it.
Thanks,
everyone.
Hey, what was the star drill?
The star drill was a drill we did. It kind of looked like a one-on-one kind of coming at each other. But, you know, I could argue against it. But it looked like it was something that they didn't want. We were coming at each other at 5 yards. And one guy was a blocker and one guy was trying to get off the block. But there was a little bit of a collision there. And if you watched it on tape from afar, not being at the drill, if you were somebody in the NFL office, boom, it looked like, you know, something. It looked like the Oklahoma drill, and that's something they didn't want. So they just, nope, you're not doing that anymore.
Coach, we see Coach Reed every day. We cover him since 13. Do we forget how special he is and how successful he's been?
Yeah, he's a special guy. I mean, he's so consistent. That's the thing that stands out. That and his attention to detail. And it filters down through all the other coaches, you know, offense, defense, special teams. We're all the same way now over time. So that's what makes them great.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
All
right, there's Dave Tobe, special teams coordinator for the Chiefs. And, boy, he has a job to do when it comes to picking out players and talking with Brett Veach and Andy Reid of who is going to be on this team because, as he said, it is a complete reset. There are holes everywhere. He mentioned that Watson could take Kemp's place, so that's interesting. He really likes him, talked about him by name. If you're talking about who the fifth and sixth wide receivers on this team would be, Watson's a guy that Patrick Mahomes has talked about as well. And then kickoff, Isaiah Pacheco is the man right now as the kickoff returner, but working in Hardman and McDuffie and Sky as well. They need more. Here's George Karloftis.
It was a hot one today. You know, it's been really good. You know, getting a lot better each and every day. That's all I could ask for.
George, it really sounds like Frank has taken a liking to you how has the relationship grown in this small time that you've had with him?
Yeah, you know, well, it's not just Frank, really. It's the whole group. You know, they're trying to take me under their wing, you know, from Frank and Chris to Mike and Turk. Everybody in the group's just coming together as one, you know. Obviously, Frank helps me out after every practice, and Chris helps me out in his own way. And everyone really helps me out in their own way, you know, because they're, you know, we're trying to have the strongest group possible. So we're trying to have to bring everyone along.
Can you describe what Frank has taught you after the session after practice?
I don't want to give away secrets. But, you know, just little things about the game, man, like the little vet intricacies that he knows, like stuff that was passed down to him from guys like Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. He's passing that stuff on to me in order to help me be successful and this team be successful in order.
Hey, George, in things that you can share, what's just the biggest thing that you've picked up so far, the biggest thing that you learned that you
share? All about the speed of the game. You know, it's all about the get-off and rushing the passer after you stop the run.
George, what was the excitement yesterday about putting the pads on for the first time, and how does the feeling change when it's the second day of pads?
Absolutely. You know, first day of pads, you know, you get all that excitement, you know, you're amped up, you're playing real football and all that stuff. But then you also get a lot really fatigued because you're really not used to it. You know, now you're used to it and you're going, and now we're playing football now.
So. How would you rate your performance so far with the one-on-one drills against the OL?
I think I'm just getting better. You know, I'm not looking at, oh, I won this rep, oh, I lost this rep. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to just get better every single day in order to help this team win. So that's what it's all about.
Sorry. Any initial thoughts about seeing Leo Shinalan pass? So long,
you
talked about.
Yeah, man, he plays hard. He plays hard and he hits hard and he's a physical player. I think he's going to be great for us.
When it comes to help from Frank, did you approach him? Did he approach you? How did that start?
I think it might have been mutual. You know, at first, you know, he says, what's up? Like, you know, introduce himself, this, and that. But I think, you know, I kind of started asking him, hey, what are you doing? This, and that. And then he took me after practice. He's like, hey, I do a couple things after practice if you want to get with me. And then I've been getting with him every single day.
Young guys, including veterans, also have said that Back's game is.
I feel pretty comfortable with it, you know, after OTAs and all that stuff. You know, I took the summer and really studied all that stuff just by myself and really just wanted to get, you know, make it second nature, if you will. So that's all I was focusing on. And I'm getting more and more accustomed to it, learning more and more every day too, right? But it is a complicated scheme, but once you learn it, it becomes like second nature.
A lot of people are attaching like a number to your rookie year as far as sacks are concerned. Do you have a number that you want to reach in this first year?
No, it's not about the number. It's about the wins and losses. It's about playing in Arizona in February. So,
George, how did you get so good at bull rushing? If that's what you're known for, if that's what some of your trait, how did you fall into
this? I wouldn't describe this bull rushing. For me, I'm a power rusher. You know, you see guys around the league. You see the speed guys. You see the power guys. You know, you see speed guys like a Von Miller. But if you really look at the game and study the game, you see that. Over half the guys' sacks come from power. So just from that alone, you hear Von Miller talk, he has 100-some sacks. Over 60 of them or 70 of them are from power. So why wouldn't you just hone in on that? So that's all I've been working on. My coach, my freshman year, Kevin Wolthausen at Purdue, he told me speed to power. So I worked that every single day. That was the only move he taught me when I enrolled in spring ball. So I worked that almost every single day. And I based my whole game off of that.
Besides Frank, who is another guy in the minor league this year?
Oh, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. You know, the league, you know, right now has a lot of good pass rushers. You know, I think, you know, someone that I have a really good relationship, a really close relationship with, who just retired, Ryan Kerrigan, you know, that's my guy. So I go to him for advice, you know, ask him things about the game and really, I watch his film, you know, back from when he first got drafted and even his latter years, you know, just watching him because I think I play similarly to him, but there's a bunch of guys. You know, I think I play like Khalil Mack. I think I play like a bunch of other guys, so. You know, trying to get little things from and little bits and pieces from every single person's film and just culminating that and using that for my style.
So it looked like you did specialized training this summer. Do you feel the benefits of that, what you were trying to do?
Absolutely. I feel like I trained like a pro. You know, that's what it was all about. You know, moving better, being more functionally strong, and being able to apply that on the field. I could definitely feel that.
Rich, how much do you feel like the group is looking forward to Carlos Dunlap coming in, and you specifically of being able to learn it?
Absolutely. You know, we're pumped to have him in here eventually. You know, he's almost 100 sacks now in his career. So definitely a lot to learn from him. I think he's going to add a lot of value just from the teaching standpoint. You know, just being able to teach on all of us young guys and even aside from everything, all the wonderful things he's going to do on the field, you know, just teaching us and spreading the wealth and knowledge that he has.
How did you connect with Kerrigan? What did you kind of learn from him?
Well, he went to Purdue. There's not too many Purdue DNs in the league, you know. So just from that, you know, we met through a mutual connection back in West Lafayette, and then we kind of hit it off. You know, I called him my freshman year of college and talked for about an hour and just had pretty constant communication ever since. You know, talked to him the other day.
We got time for a few more. Let's go Steven, Nick, and then PJ, okay?
It's like a group of the Chiefs ambassadors were talking to the team yesterday after practice. Neil Smith was one of them. Did you take anything away from talking to some of the former Chiefs after practice yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, those guys are just so proud to be Chiefs, you know, to be part of this great organization. You know, just coming back and just being proud that they were part of this team. You know, I think it really speaks volumes to the class of this organization.
Hey, what have you been able to learn from Coach Cohen, and what's his coaching style?
He's incredible. You know, I don't want to give away too many secrets in terms of the technique, but, you know, for me, he told me he's going to be on me. You know, he said he really, really liked me. That's, you know, why they drafted me. You know, he's going to push me every single day to become the best player I possibly can be. And I know he's going to do that, and I expect that out of myself, so I'm going to make it happen.
PJ, how much are you looking forward to going against Orlando Brown when he gets in there?
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think I saw him in a little bit today. I was on the other side. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, obviously he's a great player, you know, Pro Bowler, you know, all that stuff. Just super excited and can't wait to compete and get better.
Good. Thanks, George.
Thanks, guys. Hey,
thank you. All right, there's George Karlaftis, Dave Tope first, then George Karlaftis. We'll hear from Orlando Brown, and then also who else is at the podium today besides
Tommy Townsend?
Tommy Townsend. That's right. I forgot about the Tommy Townsend.
You?
I didn't want to punt on that interview. So Orlando Brown is going to be next. As soon as he starts talking, we'll head back out there. But a lot of talk about Karlaftis with Frank Clark, especially at the beginning. Thought it was interesting. He asked him a question, how the whole thing sort of started. He asked Frank Clark, like, hey, what are you doing in this? He showed him, and then Frank Clark asked him, do you want to stay after practice? So they have. Here's Orlando Brown.
I was excited to get out there and get some live reps, man. You know, obviously I've been doing a ton of stuff, training on my own and things like that, but it felt good, man, to get out there with the guys.
What made this the right time to report to camp, as opposed to last week or next week or the week after? What made this the right time?
Yeah, man, you know, I missed a lot of ball up until this point. And, you know, obviously, man, I miss the locker room. I miss the coaches, you know, everyone here in the building. And I know how important this five-day stretch is to Coach Reed and everybody here at KC, man. So, you know, I just didn't feel right sitting at home missing out on this. You know, this is something that, you know, I want to be a part of. And, you know, I was brought here to help win Super Bowls. And, you know, this week is very important to our progression.
What was that like for you, sitting out all the OTAs, mini camp, back in the spring? What was that like for you?
Yeah, you know, man, it's always hard. You know, I pride myself on being a leader. I pride myself on being someone that wants to be here for his teammates and showing up every day, bringing the most positive energy that I can bring to the locker room and on the field, man. And so it was difficult to be away from it for so long. But, you know, the understanding was that, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
When you came here, you wanted to be here for the long term.
Absolutely.
Has anything that's happened in the last few months changed that?
No, man, not at all. Not at all. You know, I want to be here. I want to finish my career here in Kansas City. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, questions out there. But, you know, to me, man, with the contract situation, it just wasn't enough guarantees. And I want to be here for the rest of my career in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And that's really important to me.
What were your emotions as you approached the deadline and then you find out you're not going to sign a deal? How did you react? What were some of the conversations you had with the agent?
Yep.
You know, from your vantage point, how did that process play out?
Yeah, I don't want to get too detailed on that, but very emotional, man. You know, I've spoke to, you know, pretty much a lot of people here in the front office and Coach Reed, and everyone understands, man. I love ball. You know, I love blocking for Pat Mahomes. I love putting the Chiefs, you know, logo on my helmet, man. And I really enjoy being here. So, you know, I know that time will tell and things will get taken care of with time, man. I just look forward to getting out there on the field this year.
You know, so it's not enough guarantees. That's what kept you from signing the deal?
Yeah, not at all, man. It's not about the money. You know what I mean? I want to be here for the rest of my career.
So, I know you said that you didn't want to get too detailed, but you didn't hire an agent, of course, up front. Is it something that you felt like you could handle yourself?
No, man. I mean, you know, ultimately we visited with a few different agents, and Mike Portner was the best option for me that I personally felt like.
Why was he the best option?
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like he did a really good job understanding what was needed. You know, we connected in a few different ways, man. You know, obviously his dad being an endocrinologist and my dad's history with diabetes and my family and all that different stuff. So, man, we just basically developed a connection through that. And, you know, man, I just feel like he presented me with the best opportunity.
What was your teammate said about you? I mean, when people were asking questions about your whether you were a team guy and everything else, what did you hear from Patrick and Kelsey and some of those guys?
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, those are some of my brothers, man, and fortunately I've been able to grow with them over the last year. Especially on the field and off the field. You know, man, I really appreciate them, and I appreciate everyone in that locker room, man. You know, it's a driving force for me this offseason and every year, man. It's just, I'm very thankful to be able to block for someone like that, play with other guys like Trav, all those men up front, Coach Andy Heck, man, Coach Andy Reid, EB, I mean, all of them, man. I could just go on and on.
I mean, obviously the negotiations didn't lead to a long-term deal. Has there been a moment since you got here the past few days where you had a conversation with Andy or Frank where you
Yeah, man. I mean, we've me and Vince have talked. Me and Coach Reid have spoken. You know, man, understanding this business is business. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, that part is behind us for now, man. We're moving forward. I just, like I said, man, I'm here to win Super Bowls. You know, and at the end of the day, that's what I care about.
Do you feel like you have something to prove to get the contract offer that you want next season?
Yeah, man. I mean, I always feel like I got something to prove. You know what I mean? I was a third-round pick. I had the worst combine in history. The list goes on and on, man. So the chip's always been really big. You know, what does this necessarily mean? I mean, I don't know if it's that much different from the past. You know what I mean? I always feel like I got a lot to prove.
What gives you optimism that a long-term deal could happen here in Kansas City sometime in the future?
Yeah, just my production, man, and what I do on the field. So, you know, hopefully I'll let that speak for itself as the year goes on.
On the field, what do you want to showcase this year that is continuing from last year, or that is maybe slightly different than what you would have been in situation?
Yeah, I want to progress in almost every way, shape, and form and fashion, man. I want to be a better run blocker, a better pass blocker, a better leader, you know, allowing them to count on me when they need me most. You know, that was something I feel like I struggled with a little bit last year, not putting myself in the best position as games were close or on certain third downs or in close games against certain talents. So that's something that I definitely want to improve on.
Is there one moment that you can sort of pinpoint from last year that sort of made you aware that this is where I want to get better?
Yeah, I mean, all of them, man. You know, I would say it probably definitely started sometime in training camp, you know, the understanding of that. So, you know, man, I just want to progress and continue to get better. I don't think I've even come close to my ceiling yet.
How did you do today? How did you do physically and creatively?
Yeah, man, I feel good. I feel great. I spent a lot of time this summer playing tennis down there in Miami. I spent a lot of time swimming twice a week and training at Pete Bomarito's, man, performance system. So my body feels great. Man, I'm ready to go. Today was a great day.
You've been training, working out, doing all that, but how long before you were able to go?
Oh, man, I have no idea. That's really up to Coach Reid and them.
Three more guys about Steven, Matt, and Vi.
So bottom line for you, any hard feelings at all with your organization now that you're here?
Oh, not at all, man. It's no hard feelings, period. You know what I mean? Like, nothing like that. It's, like I said, I appreciate everyone in this building, man. They give me an opportunity to play football at the highest level and to be a left tackle. So I've got no animosity towards anyone in the building. It's nothing like that. You know what I mean? Like I said before, man, business is business, and I'm here to win Super Bowls. That's all I care about is winning football games.
Given that during this past offseason, you didn't have an agent, negotiations kind of started late.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that this coming offseason you're going to be starting at a better place and give us at least a starting point?
I mean, you know, obviously we've negotiated before. I think we probably will have a better starting place, but when that takes place, man, I'm not really sure. So we'll just see as it goes.
Last one,
Vi.
Well, Andy, you said this about wanting to be here for your teammates and wanting to win a Super Bowl. At some level, is that what's kicked in here? Like, of course, you have to think about yourself, but there's something extraordinary to be accomplished here. Is that what you can say really drove your thinking?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, like I said, I know how important this stretch is to Coach Reid, and how important it is, especially for us up front, starting in pads, all of those things, man. So, you know, I pride myself on being a team guy, and I want to be here, you know, to help us get through through these days.
And for what the Chiefs can accomplish, you think specifically this team, I mean, is that really a driving force?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, you guys know who I'm blocking for and the type of talent that we have, the type of coaches that we have. So I take a lot of pride in that, man, and a lot of people in this building do.
Thanks, Orlando.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Orlando Brown weighing in on why this week. Why did he show up this week as opposed to last week? What was the importance of being there for this stretch? And he talked about the 5-day stretch is important to Andy Reid and the organization of this week's of practice, and that's why he wanted to be there because of the big week and be around his teammates and wants to be a leader and all of those things and win Super Bowls. This was a big week, so he needed to be there for this particular week. A lot of other things to get into with Orlando Brown. Here is Tommy Townsend.
Yeah, that's probably the hardest punt to practice. You know, you're backed up. You feel like the stands are kind of like right on your back. And you know, you got a lot of field to work with, and it's one of those situations where you know you need a good punt, and you just got to go out there and execute. So that's always fun to practice. There's always a lot of pressure in those situations, and Coach Tobe's great about that. You know, making practice. Try and make practice harder than games, and I feel like we did that today. We got some really good work in there today.
Tommy, when you won Player of the Week, I think it was back in November, you mentioned something about your mental preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Has that now extended to the beginning of the season? Do you feel like that may propel you to a more complete season than maybe you've had in the past?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something I'm always aiming and you know, working towards. And you know, I'm really ramping up, you know, like I guess you could call it my mental practice, and working on the mental side, like right now, you know, getting ready for preseason, and you know, I'm excited to get into preseason, knock the cobwebs off, and you know, get back into games.
What are the details of that, like visualization or meditation? Just what goes into some of that stuff?
Yeah, so it's a lot of meditation. So early in my career as a punter, I like to be very aggressive and have a very aggressive mindset. And I think that worked for me very well when I was young, but you know, as I've like gotten a little bit older, I think it's best to you know, be in like a more relaxed mindset, and because I feel like one of my tendencies is when I don't hit a great punt, it's when I overswing and I try and like hit too you know, like too strong of a punt, and you know, I sit very well around like my 75% swing, and so you know, that's something that helps me with, you know, the mental side. If I'm, you know, really like trying to like slow down my mind, relax, and then that helps me carry it over to games, you know, just be more relaxed on the field.
Tommy, you talked about the mental side, but what about the physical part of it? Were there things you worked on during the off season to improve your game in that aspect of it?
Yeah, definitely. There's something I'm working on right now too, just something with my leg swing, just working on pulling it straight through. Just helping my leg get to the ball a little bit quicker. And as you know, Kansas City, it's not easy with the wind. It's one of the windiest places in the NFL. So you got to have a very short period of, you know, time between when you're releasing the ball and releasing the ball and contact. So right now I'm just working on bringing my leg a little bit quicker through and hitting the ball just to try and you know, eliminate that wind as much as possible.
Even though it's the same punter, kicker, long snapper, there's a lot of new faces, new components from special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Does that impact you at all? How is that to try to build that chemistry in the different units?
Yeah, I feel like there's always a bit of like a learning curve, you know, when you got like new guys coming in. But we've got a lot of talent, and I'm really excited to watch these new guys work. I was super excited to get Chris Amons back. You know, James and Chris have been, you know, great staples in special teams. But yeah, we got a lot of new guys and a lot of talent that I'm really excited to see, and a lot of dogs on special teams. So I just can't wait to get into preseason and watch these guys work.
Chemistry there. I mean, we were talking about long snapper to kicker to punter after camp chemistry. How much do you need to worry about your gunners and protectors and everybody?
I mean, I try not to like worry about them. It's one of those things. I feel like during the week, you know, we practice like everyone's a professional here. Everyone's going to do their job, and I have a lot of trust in our guys to do that. So it's one of those things. I just try and you know, do my part, and you know, I know that, you know, my gunners and the rest of the punt team they're going to work really hard and do theirs. Yeah.
Are there some things when you see guys and new guys coming in where you say like, you know, they can make special teams roster?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not the one picking the rosters. I'm not the one in the meeting rooms with the coaches. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of guys that are really talented, so I'm just excited to see those guys work, and that's going to be the biggest thing. So I'm just excited for preseason.
And it's a legend that you know, you've probably seen Harrison Butker and some guys. Have y'all talked anything about that at all?
I feel like everyone has great, you know, conversation and communication about stuff that's going on in politics, and you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I have my own opinions, and you know, I think it's great Harrison voiced his. I think it's good to voice your own opinion and have your own opinion. So.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think everyone's been grinding out here. You know, the O line, D line, they look good. It's hot outside. They've been grinding. They're built for tough. So. I'm happy to see those guys out there working.
Does all that hair under the helmet make it super hot for you?
Yeah, it gets a little hot. Yeah, it's a little hot. Sometimes I try and like tie it up sometimes, but it doesn't work too well. It's just one of those things. It's like a wool blanket in the summer. It's just.
Do you still work out with Connor Morrison?
When I can. Yeah, when I can. I didn't have an opportunity to this past year, but Thomas was one of my big inspirations with my steps in punting and kind of growing out the long hair. So he's always been a huge inspiration for me. So I love to get to work with him every chance I get.
All right, thank you guys.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right, there's Tommy Townsend. My favorite part of that interview, of that press conference, was when asked to the media, anything else, any other questions? And then Tommy Townsend thought that was to prompt him, be like, no, I mean, look, everybody's out here grinding. You know, in conclusion, I would like to just say that I appreciate the team and Dave Tobe and everybody being a part of this whole organization. It's just been great. We're just out here working. God willing, you know, we'll be there in the end. All right, we'll take a timeout. We are late for one. A lot of stuff to get into around Orlando Brown.
The Dolphins have given up draft picks. Eric Hosmer's holding up the trade of the century.
Yeah.
What a day!
If you're just joining us, Juan Soto has been traded to the Padres, but it hasn't been agreed upon because Eric Hosmer is a part of the deal, and Eric Hosmer has a no-trade clause to 10 teams, one of those being the Nationals. He has yet to agree to be traded to the Nationals. It is a massive, massive deal with three top 80 prospects, two top 25 prospects in all of baseball, and a couple of major leaguers, Eric Hosmer included, for Juan Soto and Josh Bell, heading to the Padres. The Miami Dolphins have forfeited the 2023 first-round pick and 2024 third-round pick for tampering with Tom Brady over the last 2 years, and Orlando Brown talked. Oh, also, Sky Moore left with an injury, hip injury, and Jordan Poyer left Bills training camp with what is being deemed a significant arm injury. So there you go. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. A lot of stuff still yet to get into. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Text says, love you guys, or excuse me, says like you guys. I apologize. Another text said love the show. Sorry, I've combined those. I apologize. Like you guys. I don't want to exaggerate.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's get into Orlando Brown, but first, updating with all of the news and to get as current as possible with the massive trade of Juan Soto and where we are, to catch you up with everything that's taken place over the last hour. Okay. So, Juan Soto and Josh Bell traded from the Nationals to the Padres. The Cardinals were interested, but they refused to include Dylan Carlson. The Nationals said thanks, but no thanks. The Dodgers and Padres were going to be the ones that it came down to. The Padres sweeten the pot. They have traded three top 80 prospects in all of baseball. They're number 1, 2, and 4 prospects and 10 prospects in their entire organization. Mackenzie Gore, left-handed pitcher. He's on the IL, but a guy with a lot of promise. And another major leaguer. It was agreed upon. The deal was good to go. Reported is done. Jeff Passan then reported there was one hang-up left as to why the deal is not official, and it is with the major leaguer. That major leaguer was Eric Hosmer. What was holding up the deal is that Hosmer has a no-trade clause to 10 teams in Major League Baseball. One of those teams is the Nationals. He was caught off guard by this news, was not alerted that he was going to be involved in a trade, was not happy about the trade, and here's the update to all of these things. This is from Mike DiGiovanni, the greatest performance of Dom DiGiovanni in history. Mike DiGiovanni, Los Angeles Times sports writer covering the Angels, Dodgers, Major League Baseball, other things as well, says, hearing Padres' Eric Hosmer is not thrilled about being traded in the Nationals, it will likely take a chunk of money or maybe an additional year added to his already 8-year, $144 million deal to get him to sign off on the deal. Soto, Hosmer, and Josh Bell are all Boris clients. Boris wants this to get done. Okay, there's going to be negotiations taking place. But Bob Nightingale has reported or tweeted just a few minutes ago, there are currently no active negotiations going on with Eric Hosmer and the Padres after he has rejected the trade.
So I have
the
an update on that tweet.
What?
Great.
Bob Nightingale, the Juan Soto deal is done in the with the Padres, and it does not include Eric Hosmer.
There you go.
There you go. So Hosmer didn't want to be. That's what I look when other people. It was before that tweet came in. My next point was going to be, so Hosmer's not going to be involved in the trade, and they're going to get it done, and the whole thing is not going to be broken up because or killed because Hosmer doesn't want to go to the Nationals. They'll figure out a way to keep Hosmer on the team, and then they will include another major leaguer, which is what's happened. And now what the Padres can do is trade Hosmer to one of the teams that he does not have a no-trade clause to.
Mm.
Right?
Bring him home.
Because they don't want there to be,
yes.
Like, Josh Bell's your first baseman, Hosmer there, it becomes redundant. Traded for Bell.
It did look like they were going to have to still pay a lot of his salary anyway.
Well, apparently,
so I don't know 100% what, though.
The Nationals were only going to pay for the rest of his salary this year, and the Padres were going to take care of the final 3 years of Hosmer's contract. So the Padres were only the Nationals were only paying what was left of Hosmer's contract this year.
Crazy.
To get Hosmer for the next 3 years in his contract. The Padres were going to pay all of Hosmer's contract that was left outside of the remaining prorated portion this year. That is not the case. Hosmer's not involved. It is a different player that is involved to the Nationals. Beards.
So, if you're not a Bob Nightingale fan, there's more here I've got. This is from Jim Bowden a few minutes ago, where the Nationals and the Padres deal does not hinge on Hosmer being a part of it. The deal is done regardless. And then Ken Rosenthal just replied a minute ago. Source confirms what Jim is saying. Deal will go through with or without Hosmer. Padres still must decide what to do with him.
Yeah. So
it's just it's a little less so now than it was literally 2 minutes ago. But I mentioned this earlier, like you get enough prospect names in and prospects from somebody else's system and eventually it becomes name static. I hear the numbers you say, but the names I eventually get lost to the void. This is as good of trade deadline drama and comedy as we've ever gotten from baseball, I think. And that makes me very happy.
The other thing we were talking about is like they're trading their entire farm system, essentially, or the Padres for Juan Soto. They were getting Josh Bell, sending back Hosmer. If they didn't trade Hosmer, would they move Bell for something else if he can be traded immediately to replenish their farm system and to get something else back for him? We'll see what happens with that. But Hosmer is rejecting the trade. He will not get traded to the Nationals.
A tweet from David Adler on Twitter. Imagine if the Angels had traded Mike Trout on May 15th, 2015, when he was the same age as Juan Soto is today.
That's amazing.
2015!
Other tweets saying, this is the most power Eric Hosmer's had in a long time.